All right, you ready for the Word of God here today? See, now your joy is going to turn to mourning when you hear what I'm preaching on today. The title of my message is Moving Toward Financial Freedom. Hey, praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Haggai. I know we're not there very often. Do yourself a favor. Just save us all the time. Go to the table of contents now and look up what page it's on and just admit that you do not know where Haggai is. It's back there in that place in your Bible that the pages are all still crunchy. It's in the minor prophet section. It's after Daniel, and then you'll go through a lot of names, and you'll go to Zephaniah, and then right after Zephaniah is Haggai. It's only a two-chapter book in the Old Testament. You know, when people hear a title like this, they think, oh my goodness, the pastor's just here today to preach and how to give more money to the church. Actually, this is totally unconnected to, you know, our vision offering and things. I didn't plan to preach this in connection with, you know, what God would have us to do in 2014. How many of you know that weeks ago, I started a series of messages about relationships and finances, right? And you knew that this was coming. Amen. Yeah. And we took a look in the Bible. We saw where so many times relationships were strained when people were under financial pressure. Oh, yeah. The goal of this message or a series of messages isn't to get money out of your pockets or to get finances in the church. Actually, primarily, the goal is to teach you how to handle money in a way that pleases God, that cooperates with godly prosperity. Yeah. Amen? Because wealth is not my goal. Wealth should not be your goal. Stewardship is our goal. Yes. I want to please the Father. Yes. I want to please God. And how we handle finances is one of those things that pleases or displeases God. Actually, Jesus said over there in Matthew 6:21, he says, "For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." That money is a reflection of our heart. Wherever you spend your money, wherever you give your money, reflects what you truly cherish and prize in your heart. Amen. 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 You know, Pastor Michael, he says this. He says, "Show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your love and desire is." Right? And that's true. That's absolutely true. Jesus said that. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Right? And so my goal is to make sure that none of us have money first.
Right.
Amen. Our goal is to make sure that we cooperate with the plan of God for our finances because God wants to get you out of debt.
Yes.
Remember where this series of messages started back at the turn of the year here last month, that the Lord spoke to me and said that if people will make a plan to become financially free and to restore relationships, He will work with us and bring those things to pass faster than we ever could on our own. Amen.
Amen.
God wants you to have restored relationships. He doesn't want relationships and unforgiveness and those things to be hindering you. Neither does He want you to be led by financial pressure. So many people are making decisions based on what money is doing. You know, and you know, they got to take new jobs and they're just not, you know, making ends meet and they're always falling short. That is not the plan of God for your life.
Amen.
And I say this, and please let me tell you my brief financial testimony in my life. As it stands right now, I'm not sitting on $1 million savings account. I'm not sitting on a vacation home somewhere and things like that. So I'm not here to portray myself as some financial guru or anything. But what I can tell you that in my testimony that as of right now, I have no debt on any vehicles. I have no credit card debt. And I'm, for the first time in my life, I am not living paycheck to paycheck. I'm actually saving hundreds of dollars for every paycheck. All right? And so I'm started on that path to building true wealth.
Amen.
All right? Where we actually aren't living paycheck to paycheck, where just one hard time knocks you out and you lose everything because something got tight for a few weeks. That is not the plan of God, but unfortunately, so many of God's people, that is how they are living. And I want to show you this in the book of Haggai. And I believe that this represents how many of God's people are still living today. Right? And so the goal of this is to teach you, one, how to please God, how to be a good steward. See, if you think that your money is your money, you've missed it. Because the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible says that God said all the gold and all the silver is mine.
That's right.
See, where people start to fail stewardship is they start to believe that it's theirs. and that God has no stake in it. Listen, you want God to get involved in your finances. He has made a promise to supply every need that you ever have. And not just that, but he said that he will cause your cup to run over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so let's go to Haggai, and we're going to read chapter 1. And we're going to start in the first verse. Amen. So I made sure to start us off with lots of laughs here today, because we're going to get into a message that is going to convict some people. And they might not like it. But how many of you know that Family Church, we're not here to hold back on things? If the Lord puts it on my heart to go in this direction, I'm going to go there. Say, well, people don't like to hear that, and that's not what seeker-sensitive churches are doing. Well, good, this isn't a seeker-sensitive church. I don't preach to please the people. I preach to please the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And I want to tell you, I came from a background, all right? I went to college, and as a young man, I mean, I took out every kind of credit card I could get my hands on. I spent money recklessly. I bought things that I couldn't afford. I mean, up until the point, even my mid, late 20s, even into my early 30s, I was still dealing with just outrageous credit card debt, all right? Credit card debt that was just, you know, off the charts, financial pressure, living, you know, week to week, driving 20-year-old vehicles because that's all I could buy. You know, living in an apartment that my pastor said wasn't fit for a dog, you know. I mean, I've been there. I know what it's like to live on peanut butter and jelly. I know what it's like to eat ramen noodles, you know, pretty much morning and night to get by. I was there. I am not coming out of, you know, some background. I've never gotten a large inheritance from any family member. I've never inherited money. But I tell you what, I got an inheritance in Christ. Glory to God. And I got the principles of the Word of God that when you put them into motion, they work and they will take you out of that place of being bound financially. Glory to God. So I know what it's like, and I've seen how it has blessed my marriage, how it's blessed my kids, you know. And here's the whole thing is that I haven't gotten to that place of financial freedom on some exuberant salary. At the church, my salary, I'll just tell you, my cash salary here at Family Church is $41,000. I would have been making more money than that if I would have stayed a school teacher, okay? Sure. So I'm not talking about, that's well under the national average. And I'm not saying I'm complaining, and board members, that's not a hint. You understand? You know, I'm just saying, and of course there's other things in my compensation. Even if you add it all up, I'm still under the average income in America. And I know this, I know pastors that have a church a third of my size that make three times the money. So for me, it's not about the money, right? I'm well compensated. I'm totally insane. Happy, satisfied with it. But the point I'm making is that you don't have to have a huge annual salary to become financially free.
Right.
It's not a problem with God not giving you enough.
Right. Amen.
The issue is in our character and how we handle money and our discipline, all right? Let's look at the Bible. All right. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of that man, governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of that other one, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Now, let me give you a little historical background. This is when the Jewish people were coming out of Babylonian captivity. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? Remember when he came in, he took over Israel, sacked Jerusalem and all this, destroyed things. Solomon's temple had been destroyed, right? And now God is saying, all right, it's time to go back to your land. It's time to go build the house of God again. That's what's going on here. These people, Zerubbabel was going to be the one that was going to lead Israel. They were going to rebuild the temple of God. All right, and now look what God says in verse 2. He says, "This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses, in this house lie waste?" He's saying, the people say, nah, it's not time to build God's house. It's not time to fund the house of God. we're doing all right. We don't need to do that right now. And God says, is it okay that you live in your good homes, you live in your finished homes and your properties and things, and yet the house of God goes without? See, God was saying, listen, my house comes first. And then in verse 5, it says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much. Now listen to verse 6. You have sown much. You bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, build the house of God, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow on it, or blow it away. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? He says, because of my house that is waste, and you run every man unto your own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed, or restricted, from bringing forth her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. Wow. Now, let's see some simple facts here about their situation. Notice there in verse 6, they were sowing much but reaping little. That's the first thing they were doing. Their sowing, or you could say it this way, their giving was not producing harvest. I think there's something like that going on with the body of Christ today. There's many Christians that are giving and they're sowing, but they're not reaping a harvest on it. And God says it should not be. If you give, you should reap, right? The second thing about their situation is that they never had enough. Notice they were constantly, you could say it this way, they were living paycheck to paycheck. He says, you have sown much, you have reaped little, you earn wages, and it just never seems to be enough. Right. You got clothes, but it's never enough. You have food, but it's never enough. Right. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people, I've seen it as a pastor, there's people that are making good wages, but they still never seem to make ends meet. Right? Right? Yeah. And it's not a wages issue, it's a character and discipline issue. Yeah. All right? The third fact about their situation is that their wages seem to be lost no matter what they earned. Yeah, their wages never stuck to them. He says, you earn wages, but you earn wages to put it in a bag filled with holes. Now, of course, that's not literal holes. It's not talking about that their money bag or their wallet was worn out and so money was falling on the ground. He's making an illustration that there is holes in their character. There is holes in their priorities. There are holes in the way they handle finances. Because I believe this, especially in America, we're making enough money. We're making enough money. You know what I mean? Americans are making enough money. They just have holes in their financial bags. Yeah, that's absolutely what's going on. Come on now. All right. Now we're going to talk about the reasons and what produce those holes and why they never seemed to catch up financially. They never got free financially, even though they were sowing.
Sure. Yeah, come on.
Right? Even though they were giving.
Yes.
Right? Even though they were, doing what they knew to do, it still wasn't happening. And God explains why. All right? Here's the reason for the holes in their money bags. All right? This is the reasons why money was getting away from them. I'll say this as a pastor. I have met with dozens and dozens of families who have sat down with me, and try to figure out their financial situation. And every time I sit down with them, we always discover that it's not a money issue. There's plenty of money that they're earning. They are just not handling it the way God says. Amen. I want to teach you how to walk in these principles to be free financially. And if you're sitting here and you just want to turn me off, listen, I'll tell you what, financial pressure, it hurts marriages, it hurts children, it drives wedges between people, it destroys friendships, it destroys relationships with God, it destroys and erodes confidence that you have before the Lord. You want to get this right. That's why I want to share you my testimony, because it was in 2004 that I walked up in front of a church and repented before God and before everybody there. I came up, a preacher was preaching on tithing, and he gave an altar call for people to repent who weren't tithing. I walked up front, got on my knees, and I was even a leader in the church and repented with about another 24 people up there, and I repented before God, and I said that day in April of 2004, from this day forward, I will always be a tither. I will never rob from God again, and I'm going to handle my money God's way. And now here, less than 10 years later, all that credit card debt is gone. I have no more debt with any store or any accounts or anything like that. My vehicles are paid off, and I'm putting hundreds of dollars every month into my savings account. Glory to God. And I'm doing it on not some exuberant, crazy, big salary. It's a fair salary. Just like you are being paid fairly wherever you're at, most likely, right? Amen. All right, here's the number one issue why they had holes in their financial situation. Number one, they had a conflict of priority. They had a conflict of priority. Yeah. Go over to verse 9. Look what it says. This is what God says to them. He says, you looked for much. He said they were believers in the prosperity of God. They looked. They expected. They believed God to meet their needs. Right? So the faith or the expectation wasn't the issue. All right? You can have all the faith in the world for the prosperity of God, but if you aren't handling your finances correctly, it will never come to you. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And even when you did bring it home, God says, I blew it away. Wow. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Here's the answer. Because of my house that is waste. You have run every man unto his own house. Here's their conflict of priority. They put their house in front of God's house. I know. Yeah, thanks for the big amens on that one. They put their own house, their own financial priorities, their own desires and wants in front of the house of God. And God said, this is why their wages are sticking to them. Right. Notice when you're faithful to God's house, there is a power, there is an anointing there to cause finances to stick to you. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, God's telling them, listen, if you would have honored me, I would have caused more to stay with you. That's the joy of tithing. That's the faith of tithing, believing that God's going to do more with the 90% than you could do with 100.
That's right. Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that God is going to bring supernatural multiplication. Yes. I believe that God's going to bring supernatural benefit and blessing.
Right.
He's going to increase, right, the smaller amount that's left over after, I'm sure, to honor Him first.
Right.
Glory to God. Amen. He has done that in my life. And it isn't, again, people say, well, what's the amount? It's not that, I mean, of course, my pay did go up and things like that at times. But I'll tell you what, just supernatural favor. I mean, supernatural favor. Favor in handling with creditors, dropping my interest rates, you know, letting go of certain debts and things like that. Glory to God. Unexpected blessings coming in. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. See, this is what was eating their harvest. Their priorities was wrong. Here's what you have to decide right now when it comes to finances and when it comes to life in general. Is it going to be God first or money first? What are you seeking? See, they loved their houses more than their character. They finished their homes. They decorated their homes. Meanwhile, their character had an issue because all that came before God's house. So you got to understand, is character more important to you than the home you're living in? Is integrity more important to you than the car you're driving? Right? Is honesty and worship and honor for God more important to you than the clothes you're wearing? And whether or not you get that new watch or whatever it is, God doesn't mind you having things, but He will not be behind anything.
Right.
He will not be second to anything. He won't be second to your clothes. He won't be second to your car. He won't be second to your home. Yeah. God's saying, you know, here they have these finished houses and everything looks good. He says, yeah, but your money isn't sticking to you. It's all just blowing out into the wind because you had a conflict of priority. It was your home, your stuff, over your character. Listen, I've made the decision. It's going to be God first and it's not going to be money first.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
My character is more important to me than my checkbook. My relationship with God is more important to me than what you know, vacations we go on or what material possessions we own? Have you made that decision that God's going to be first in everything? Right? We're familiar with Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. All your ways, and then He will direct your paths. Notice that the leading of God is there when you obey.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You cannot be, see, you don't want to be like these people that say, okay, I'm looking for God to bless me, but you haven't put God's house over yours.
Yeah.
See, there's a conflict of priority. I've decided that my character is worth more to me than money.
Yeah.
I've decided that my relationship with God is more valuable than how I dress or what vehicle I drive and everything. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Being right towards God's house financially will cause the money you do make to stick to you. Hallelujah. All right. And here's the second thing, second reason why it was getting away from them, is that they handled money poorly. They did not handle the money they did have correctly. Notice it wasn't the wages that was the problem. It wasn't the wages that were the problem. Like I said, I can't think of one family that has ever come to meet with me and we sat down and worked out their financial situation where it was a matter that they weren't making enough money. Now, if you're going through a job loss or if you lost a job or something and you're on unemployment or something like that, obviously there's extenuating circumstances, all right? But you're going to believe God and He's going to prosper you. He's going to get you a better job.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, okay? But people that are earning wages, people that have paychecks coming in, I've realized this, it's not a matter with their wages. Just like it was not a wage issue with these people of God, with these Jews. It was not a matter that they weren't making enough money.
Right.
We're making enough money.
Right.
Amen. So, and of course, there's always room to make some more, right? We're not saying that God's going to fix your income right where it is. But I'm saying that if you do what God says with what you do have,
yes,
He will increase it.
Amen.
Because God works on a trust system. Do you realize that you have to earn trust with God?
Oh, yeah.
What did Jesus say over there in Luke chapter 16, right around the 10th verse? Says, "He that is faithful in that which is least will also be faithful in that which is most," right? He said, therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous money, who will commit to your trust the true riches?
That's right.
Obviously, money is not true riches.
Right.
Money is not the true wealth. Money is not what we're chasing. I'm after the true riches of godly character, the knowledge of God,
Amen,
pleasing Him,
right,
putting Him first. Amen? So once God sees, okay, they have obeyed me in the small amount, now I can increase it.
Yes.
Let's see if they'll obey me in the little bit larger amount. And then you prove your trust with God at that level, and then He moves you up.
Yes.
He moves you up. People say, well, I'm on a fixed income. I've already reached the top of my earning bracket. No, you have not.
Amen.
Not with God, you haven't.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. They handled their money poorly. They were making enough money, but they didn't develop the right character. They cared more about their houses than they did their character. Right? Again, wealth is not the goal. Stewardship is the goal. And the result of these things, remember, God said the drought came, there was no dew, there was no water, the crops failed, the wine failed, everything around them started to fail until they put the house of God first. All right? Here's what you need to know. And again, I'm not teaching this to try to increase the finances of this church. It should increase the finances of the church when the people of that church family are obedient, and as they increase, the church increases. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's God's plan. Now, if we go on to read here the rest of chapter 1, as soon as, why don't we go over there? We'll just take a look at it. Right? And now it says in verse 12, we keep on reading, it says, then Zerubbabel, the son of this guy, and Joshua, the son of that other guy, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people. Notice it says, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them. And the people did reverence or fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. As soon as they got their priorities straight, God says, now I'm going to move on your behalf.
Yes.
Now I'm going to be pleased. Now I'm going to move into your financial situation, and I'm going to cause those wages to stick to you.
That's right.
Yeah. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, when you obey God financially, praise the Lord, there is an anointing. It is like an attraction. It's like a magnet. Where instead of stuff just flying away from you and you can never figure out why, now it's going to come to you.
Amen.
And now the Lord is with you and He's working in your financial situation.
Yes.
Notice these people, their whole thing started to change as soon as God's house became first in their life.
Right.
Now all of a sudden the fields started growing again.
Yes.
All of a sudden the wine crop started growing again.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All of a sudden the dew and the rain came. How many of you want the rain to come?
Yes.
Some of you have been walking in drought for so long. You've been walking in financial drought for so long. I tell you what, if you stay faithful to God, it might not change in a week or 2 weeks or even 2 months, but I guarantee you if you will stay faithful from year to year to year, you will look back on your life and you will see, my goodness, God has increased me. He has taken care of me. He has supernaturally blessed me. And he doesn't need a large annual income in order to show His miraculous power. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Say, well, God could bless me if I made six figures a year. Well, then that would be the blessing of God. No. Praise the Lord if you make six figures. Good. I'm glad. I hope more of you do. I'm just talking about from the standpoint that it doesn't take what the world says it takes for God to show His goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, we don't want the rain to dry up. We don't want the drought to come. All right? Now, notice, no harvest ever showed up. What a sad thing to be sowing seed and not have a harvest come up. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's people that they put money in the offerings and they don't tithe.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're not tithing, that money, seriously, you might as well hold on to it.
That's right.
All right? I'll prove to you that I'm not after the finances for the church. I'm after fruit in your life. If you are just putting in the token whatever, the token 10 or the token 20 or whatever, and it's not a tithe, hold on to it.
Right, that's right.
You're going to need it way more.
That's right.
Because I'm telling you, the rain's going to dry up, the drought is coming, the famine is coming in your life. If you're just throwing in the token offering, it just seems whatever you just want to put in. No, the tithe is first. The tithe is first. All right, we're not going to be able to finish it today. We're going to obviously have to continue this next week. But let's start talking about the first steps of how you handle finances appropriately. Number one, are you ready?
Yes.
This is practical. I mean, I just came out of Holy Ghost revival meetings out in California. I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to come home. I'm going to preach on miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm going to lay hands on everybody. Watch this. And then all of a sudden God says, yeah, I want you to talk about financial freedom. You know? So I'm just going to obey God,
yes.
You know, because this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, for people.
Yes.
Because we all have been through this. We go through this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And someday you are going to stand before God, and I want to present you to God faultless, the Bible says. Amen. Number one plan. The first thing you're going to do if you're going to walk into financial freedom is that you're going to have a budget. Number one, budget. I know in America that's an evil term. Our government sure knows nothing of it. You know? And that's why, have you ever wondered why the government is in such a financial chaotic mess? Because they don't make a budget, and if they do, they don't stick to it. All right? I'm not trying to pick on anybody politically. I don't have any benefit, you know, politically. I'm just saying. That's an illustration. You know? Number one, they have to have a budget. If you are going to be an ultimate steward of what belongs to God, right? Because that's what stewardship is.
Yeah.
Taking care of what already belongs to Him.
Yes.
All right? Your money isn't yours. It's His. He's letting you use it.
Right.
And then He says He just wants 10% of it back, you know, to start with, you know, and lets you, you know, live on the 90. Of course, we've got to give offerings in there too. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty gracious of God. Pretty gracious of God to let us use His finances. All right? All right. We're going to talk about a budget. Okay? Now, I'm going to bring up some scriptures here regarding, you know, biblical budgeting. I know this isn't very exciting, and we'd rather, you know, get on a soapbox, but this is what's going to help families. This is what's going to help marriages. The Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. I want to affect future generations that they are more blessed because Grandpa was faithful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's just bring up some scriptures here real quick. Let's look at what Jesus said about budgeting. You don't need to turn there. Bring up Luke 14, verse 28. This is what Jesus said. He says, "For which of you," he's talking to his disciples, "intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost?" He says, whether he have sufficient to finish it, whether they have sufficient money to finish what they start, right? Jesus is talking about a budget. He's using natural truth to preach a spiritual truth. Go to the next verse, verse 29. He says, "Lest happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." Yeah, verse 30. "Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it." Wow. See, isn't that what's going on in America right now? I just read an article the other day about the Super Bowl. And, of course, down in New York, they have that new MetLife Stadium. But right next to it is the old Meadowlands. And this company had come in, and they had bought the old Meadowlands, and we're going to turn it into a theme park and stuff like that. They've invested $3.5 billion, with a B, into the old Meadowlands, and guess what? It's still not up and running. It still looks like an eyesore. And they're like the laughingstock of the whole Super Bowl community now, because everyone in the world is looking on that situation and seeing somebody that started to build something, but because they couldn't budget properly, the world is mocking them.
Right.
Yeah, in the same way that is going on. Now, of course, we're not encouraging you to mock people that are struggling financially, but the truth is that people fail, that people get discouraged, people are pressured, they don't act right when they feel that they have not finished what they started.
Right.
Yeah, God doesn't want you to just start something and not finish it.
Right.
He wants to bring it to pass.
Amen.
Glory to God. And notice what Jesus said. If you want to complete something, if you want to become financially free, right? Because he says, don't you sit down and decide whether or not you can afford it first? He's talking about getting that thing paid off and getting free from it, right?
Right?
If you want to be financially free, the first step is that you make a budget. And I will show you how to do that. All right? Amen. Can we bring up Proverbs chapter 27? Let's just take a look at... Go to 27:23. It says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds." You say, well, you know, what does that mean? What does that have to do with budgeting? The Bible is making a point here that you have to know the state of your finances. Flocks and herds in those days, they were currency, they were business. Know the state of them. Bring up Proverbs 24. We'll take a look at another scripture. "Prepare thy work without... and make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." I love that. He says, go and secure an income first, and then build the house. See, what he's talking about there is budgeting, is planning. We have gotten this idea that if we budget and plan, that it's not Holy Ghost. You know, some people have this idea that following the Holy Spirit is just being reckless with money. No, the Holy Ghost does not lead you to be reckless with money. I'm just going to go buy that thing even though I know I can't afford it because that's what I want. I'm just going to believe God to pay for it. No,
yeah, come on.
That's not what God does. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. God will have you set up a plan.
Yes.
And then if the Holy Spirit speaks to you to give or to sow something apart from the plan, then you obey it. But God blesses the planning budgeter.
Amen.
Jesus said, which one of you would start something without making a budget first? You could say it this way. Which one of you would try to handle your home finances without having a plan how to handle it?
That's right.
All right? Budget. Let's give you some rules about a budget, all right? Here we go. This is how a good budget works. Amen. Well, let's talk about the rules for a budget first, because we are getting close to closing, and I'm going to have to pick this up next week, and we'll finish out how to make a budget. All right, here's the rules for a budget. Number one, the budget is boss. The budget is boss. My wife and I have a budget for our home, all right? And that budget is boss. Now, the money isn't the boss.
Right.
Now, when we say that, of course, we are assuming that you understand that the Holy Spirit is always boss.
Sure.
But we're just saying, when you make a budget, stick to it.
That's right.
See, when you make a budget you and your spouse agree ahead of time to stay with it, then that's going to eliminate strife in the home. Because now it's not your fault, it's not her fault, it's not his fault, it's not God's fault either. You stuck to the budget, and therefore it's, you know what I mean?
Right.
All responsibility is gone. You just stay to the budget. And therefore you're not arguing about whose fault it is. You're just obeying what you agreed upon ahead of time. I know some of you are here today saying, this is kind of boring. I can see it on some of your faces. But what I'm preaching, you have no idea how this will save your life. You'll be so glad you learned this stuff. I wish someone would have sat down with me when I was a young man and said, all right, this is what you need to do. You know? Because I was earning wages and it was just going everywhere. And you know what it did? It just produced misery. I was getting nagged by creditors, calling me all the time. High interest debt just seemed, there was pressure, just seemed like I was underwater. I was never, ever going to get to the top again. You start to feel like you're suffocating, and that is not what God has for you in your life. Glory to God. Budget is boss, of course, after the Holy Ghost. Stick to it. All right, the second rule for a budget is that you must give every dollar an assignment. Budget right down to the single dollar. You should know ahead of time where every dollar is going to go. If you don't give it an assignment, it will blow away. Right? Isn't that true with all things spiritually? If you don't give your faith assignment, it doesn't work.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? You say, well, I got faith. I believe I'm going to prosper. But are you spending that faith? Are you using your words? Are you speaking that on a daily basis? If you're not, it gets away from you.
Right?
Right? You might have all the faith on the inside, but if you're not using it, it's not going to do you a bit of good. Same thing. You could have a pocket full of dollars. It doesn't matter. Until you give it an assignment,
That's right. It's
going to frivolously get away from you. And I'm going to show you exactly what you need to do to get this. All right? Here's a third rule for budget. This is what I highly recommend, and there's some people that really disagree with me. But just stay with me for a moment. Use cash. Use cash. As opposed to credit cards and debit cards, all right? Now, I will explain. I say that because statistically speaking, that people will spend 12 to 18% more using a credit card or debit card than they do when they use cash for their spending. When you use spending for food and necessities and things like that, use cash, not credit cards. Now, some people have come to me and they say, well, Pastor Tim, I use a 0% interest credit card and I pay it off every month. That's different. Go ahead. If you're one of the few people that are actually disciplined, that you have a 0% or you pay off the balance on your credit card every month, I have one store credit card that I've done that with before. It's 0%. And you know what? I just pay it off or whatever. That's different. Okay? But I'm talking about if you are spending on your credit card and you're not paying it off every month, it's going to come back to bite you.
Right.
I read a statistic that said Americans are spending $1.10 for every dollar they earn. And it's destroying homes. The federal government spends $1.54 for every dollar it earns. All right? What is the end of all that mess? It's collapse. That's the end of it. What would happen in your home if you spend $1.50 for every dollar you earn? You're going to go under quick, aren't you? Yeah. Amen. So don't go the way of the world. Our government won't budget. So many Americans won't budget. And then they wonder why there's this big financial crisis at the end of it. Let's be different. Glory to God. Use cash. You know, I saw a stat that said McDonald's reported that the average cash purchase in a McDonald's restaurant is $4.50. But the average credit card purchase in McDonald's restaurants is $7.50. See, people are willing to go a little bit bigger when they're using credit because there's less responsibility. See, people internalize cash as affecting them directly. But when they use a credit card, it's not as personal to them. They don't see that money leaving their hands, okay? I'm going to give you some homework here for next Sunday. When you show up here next week, you need to bring two figures with you. You don't need to share them. You don't need to tell everybody about it. But you need to know what your gross income is per month and what your net income is per month. And I'm going to walk you through how you set up your budget. All right? How many of you were here, but before, don't let me finish what I'm going to say before you lift your hands. How many of you were here when we taught the financial seminar back in October of 2012, before you raise your hand, and you would hands down testify that being and learning these things that we're going over again changed your life? I mean, changed it big time. Yeah, I see many of your hands, okay? I mean, I've had so many people come up to me since then and say, oh my goodness, our finances have turned around. We've paid off debt. We've paid off credit cards. All this thing, because they got their money budgeting, all right, it budgeted. And when you budget, you are now participating in a godly principle that will cause more money to stick to you, all right? Amen. That's the goal. God wants more to stick to you. And in turn, it does bless and prosper the house of God. God wants his house fully funded. He wants your house fully funded. All right? So today we started with some principles. Let's not be like the Jews in Haggai, where they sowed much and don't reap. They make wages, but it just all disappears. The first thing we have to make sure we don't have a conflict of priority. You need to decide today, is it money first or God first? And until it's God first, you are going to face hopeless financial situations. And it won't just affect your finances. It'll affect your emotions. It'll affect your thinking. It'll affect your body, your health. It's not just a financial issue when you put God first. God just decided to use, since man's heart is so governed by money, he decided to give us the benefit of participating with him. Tithing is what keeps our hearts close to God. Tithing is what keeps us from worshiping money over God. Amen. Tithing is us, God saying, here, I'll allow you to have your financial situation brought under my banner and under my blessing, under my anointing. See, God doesn't need your 10%. You need him to have your 10%. Tithing doesn't, you know, it's about the honor of God, but it wasn't because he needed it. It's because you needed it. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I would love to just jump in, but we're already out of time. Next week, all right, make sure you have your gross income number with you, your net income. If you want to get right, you know, now if we have less people attending here next week because I don't want to talk about money, well, then go without.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you. I want you to walk on this path of financial freedom because I'll tell you what, it'll bless your marriage.
What?
I mean, it isn't an issue now, but you understand when I say this. But what if money wasn't an issue? What if it was all directed and taken care of and the plan was in place? Because I'm telling you, God said that if you put a plan in place in 2014, he is going to supernaturally work with that. Well, we see that in the Word.
Oh, yeah.
He did that for these Jews. As soon as they had a plan, God stepped up and said, now I'm with you.
That's right. Amen.
I want the Lord to be with me.
Yes.
Financially. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Father, we thank you. Lord, we see in the Word where these Jews, they were making wages, but it didn't stick to them. They were sowing, but not reaping. And Father, we saw that the main reason is because they love their house over your house. And the heaven shut up the rain and there was no dew in the land and the crops failed and the wine failed and there was a drought and a famine because your house went without. Father, every time we have an opportunity to participate in the house of God. There's a blessing in store. We put your house first. We put your house first in our attendance. We put your house first in our giving. We put your house first in our praise. We put your house first in our love for the brothers and sisters. Father, we put your house first. We love the house of God. We love the local church. Thank you, Father. You don't want us to sow but not reap. You don't want us to make wages and yet we have nothing. Lord, you told us that we need to budget our money. We need to have a plan. And Father, we thank you that as we go in the weeks ahead, that we learn exactly what to do with the money that comes through our hands. Because Father, we're not chasing wealth. We're chasing stewardship. Our character is more important than the money we make. Our integrity is worth more than the house we live in. Our worship is more important to us than the cars we drive and the things we have. Father, we want to worship you. We want to honor you. And Father, we give you the praise. With all heads bowed and every eye closed here before